Right. So today we continue our highlights of the book of Ephesians. And this week we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to read verses 17 through 32. Hear now these words. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. And then going to verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, and they wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. Now, for the past few weeks, we have done a lot of theology of who Jesus is, His resurrection, how we are one family. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, we get into some ethics, almost like a to-do list. It sounds like a classroom syllabus. This is how a Christian should behave himself. Okay? And Paul starts off by saying, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Now remember, Paul is under arrest when he's writing this letter. He has a Roman guard keeping tabs on him. Okay? And he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Now, you know, we all have the dubious honor of the cell phone, or the phone rings, and somebody's calling us that we don't want to talk to. Nowadays, your phone rings, you answer it, and it's about your car warranty. It expired. Again. I remember the comedian, Anthony Griffin, African-American comedian, he was talking about how he got a phone call from the bill collector. And he said, wait a minute, he said, you pre-approved me. I knew I didn't have any money. But we didn't get called by the car company or by the bill collector. We got called by God. He called us by name. And he says, always be humble and gentle. And I'm sure more than a few of you, especially our young folks, remember a song from a few years ago, Tim McGraw, always be humble and kind. Remember that song? I don't think that was an accident. It was such a big hit in 2016. You may recall back in 2016, we had a little presidential election. And you know how in our country we get a little heated, a little ugly, and a little divisive. And here is this number one hit song on the country radio about being humble and kind. And Apostle Paul was saying the same thing 2,000 years ago. He's saying to his church, always be humble and gentle. Then he says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, Paul isn't clueless. He knows that Christians are not always going to be perfect, and they're going to make mistakes. We want to rub shoulders every once in a while, bump elbows, and have disagreements. Some folks, I realize, think if you sin, you lost your salvation. Now, I got some bad news for you. Jesus knew you were going to mess up. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, he said to pray and forgive us our trespasses. He put that in there because he knew we were going to need it. And we are going to have fallen out to one another. We're going to have a bad day and say something we ought not to say, do something we shouldn't do. But instead, it's like, well, look what so-and-so said to me last week, Sunday. We need to be like, you know, he must be having a bad day. No. Making allowance for each other's because of your love. And it says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, we live in a world that likes drama. We know folks, if something isn't stirred up, they go out stirring it up. But as Christians, we should be binding together through peace. We don't go out trying to pick a fight with somebody and trying to push our buttons. And he explains, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called into one glorious hope for the future. And then he gives what some folks think might be a baptism creed. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, living through all. Okay? So unlike the pagans, we only have one God. There is one Christian faith. There's not five different ways to get to heaven. There's a one-way street. There's one baptism. You don't have to get baptized 16 times to get to heaven. One time will do it. And there is only one God and Father of all. Okay. And then jumping down to verse 17, he said, with the Lord's authority, I say this, no longer live as the Gentiles do. In other words, don't live as the non-believers, for they are hopelessly confused. And when we look in our world, we see folks who are confused. Minds full of darkness. They have wandered far away from the life God gives. They have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. You know, there are some folks, you mention the word God or Jesus, and they just shut you down. I don't hear about it. They have hardened their hearts and minds against him. They have no sense of shame. Look at social media. Folks will do the craziest and most shameful things just so they get a few more likes. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But Paul says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, true, righteous, and holy. And to me, it sounds like he says, throw off, but on like, maybe like, you come in, you got a bunch of old clothes with holes and rags and such, got stains on them. And the Lord says, take those old rags off and put on this brand new suit, this brand new dress. Put on this. Get rid of that old stuff. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. as where Paul tells us, no, don't be conformed, be transformed. He said, build your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And of course, I'm sure you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus told his disciples, no, be ye holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. Okay? Now, when we say created to be like God, that doesn't mean we have all power, but rather we need to be God-like. We have an attitude of righteousness and holiness. We don't go out doing the evil stuff and mischievous stuff. But we're like, what would God do? What would Jesus do? You know, back in the 90s, I'm telling my age here, there was a little fad where everybody had like a what would Jesus do shoelaces and such. And the problem was, though, it was all outward. It wasn't always inward. So you might see someone say, no, hey, let me copy your homework. No, they get that what would Jesus do pencil, right, and jot down the answers. That won't work, okay? There has to be a holiness thing inside you, okay? You know, you got to be renewed. And so here is like this little list of what not to do. And again, I say it reminds me of a teacher's syllabus, like here's the classroom rules. No, don't do this, don't do that. But I like, though, Paul not only tells us what not to do, but he tells us what to do, okay? You know, people who are affected parents and grandparents and teachers, you know, they know this. You know, it's not enough to tell your kid, now don't do that. But it's helpful when you say, let's not do this, let's do this, okay? You know, let's not play with the plug in, okay? Let's play with your toys, you know? And we're showing them there's things we don't do and there are things we do, okay? Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body, okay? You know, your neighbor should know you as an honest person. When you tell the truth, you say what you mean what you say. That's a little old-fashioned, right? But it should be, though, like if you put your car up for sale and the person buys it from you and says, well, think about this car, they know you're going to tell them the truth. It shouldn't be they buy the car for you from you and then find out afterwards the brakes are having some issues. Or maybe the engine's about to go out. No, you were up front saying, no, by the way, this car needs some work. Or no, this crazy housing market, you sell your house. No, you are honest to the buyer saying, now, by the way, no, the basement does leak. You need to be aware of that. So don't put all your goods in the basement. Or this fuse box is going to need to be changed out. You should be an honest person. You tell the truth. And then he says, and don't let sin by letting anger control you. Now, he's actually quoting Psalms 4, verse 4. And then he says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong about being angry. In fact, if you read Gospels, you'll find Jesus got angry on several occasions. On one occasion, there was a leper, and he got angry, upset that this guy was suffering. And, of course, don't forget what he did on Holy Monday, Holy Week. He went to the temple, saw the temple had been turned to the sock barn, and he chased out the cattle, turned over coins, and said, my house shall be a house of prayer, saith the Lord, but you made into a den of thieves. So there's nothing wrong about being angry. The thing is, though, we need to be controlling our anger, not let our anger control us. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Okay? Folks go to bed angry. They wake up angry. Why? For anger gives a foothold to the devil. We get angry, start getting bitter about stuff, and that just causes all sorts of mischief. Okay? And then verse 28, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Now remember, he had a rough congregation. They came from a wild pagan background. He says, instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. And they're saying, back when you were pagans, you used to go out and steal stuff. You walk down to Dollar General, get something in your pocket, walk out with it. Your friends invite you over to the house. They free you come in, walk off something. You come over to dinner and you leave. They're like, well, where's the silverware at? You stole off of some of the forks. Now, I never had a problem stealing, to be honest. The only thing I think I ever stole was back and day, right, with the bank. Sometimes I sign the pen, write the check, and put it in my pocket. I have stole some pens, you know. But Paul says, instead of using your hands to steal stuff, use your hands for good, hard work. You know, it's funny, we're living in a society where it's hard to find folks who want to work. You know, like this morning, I was going through the Hardee's drive-through and had that little sign that said, "Sorry for the inconvenience, the Hardee's will close at 5 o'clock today due to staff shortage." And it's like everywhere you go to, there's a for help sign. Somebody's wanting to hire somebody. You know, there is no excuse today in 2021 not to have a job somewhere. If you just show up and brush your teeth and clock in and do your work, they'll keep you. They'll give you a raise. And then he said, and then give generously to those in need. So instead of being a thief trying to take stuff, we should be generous giving stuff. Now, for example, here at this church, you guys have been generous giving school supplies. And then the next two Sundays, we're going to be taking an offering to give to the Jubilee Project, okay? Because that's what we do as Christians. We give, okay? Now, we won't be like the other folks out here hustling, trying to take stuff from folks. Okay? Verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so your words will be encouragement for those who hear them. And why is it in our society we think people are so rough and tough when they can cuss like a sailor? Oh man, I'm a tough guy. Look at all these words I know. No, honey, you're not tough, okay? Because when I was a kid, I got hurt using that. I got my mouth washed out with soap. You don't have to say all these cuss words to be a tough person, okay? That doesn't make you tough. It just makes you vulgar. No. Somebody says, don't you have 4 or 5-letter words? Well, there's some we should be using. Faith, hope, and love, those are 4 or 5 letters. That's the F word we should be using. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so your words may be encouragement to those who hear them. Now, a good piece of advice I heard recently was, before you say something, ask the question, one, does this need to be said? Lord, that would close down social media, wouldn't it? Two, does it need to be said by me? You know, there are things that might need to be said, but you're not the person who needs to be saying them, okay? And does it need to be said by me right now? No, sometimes we say things that are truthful, but we could wait it a little bit, you know, and have a little mercy on the person. We could have picked a better time to say what we said when we said it, you know? So our words, instead of tearing people down, we should be saying words to build people up, okay? No, we shouldn't be saying, you idiot, what did you do that for? No, well, you're getting there. Let me help you out here and show you what you did wrong, you know, and, okay, encourage folks. Then verse 30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. Guarantee you will be saved on the day of redemption. Okay. Now, God gave us his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Keyword holy. So when you do all this unholy stuff, you are grieving the Spirit. Don't do that. Bad things happen to folks who grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, when we have a Holy Spirit, we should live a holy life. Because the Holy Spirit is going to work, and we'll be saved on the day of redemption. Okay. And then finally, in verse 31 and 32, okay, get rid of, okay, this might be that TV show Hoarders. You know, that show they come into the house and throw all that old junk out the door. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And instead, be kind to each other. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, what a different world we would have if all Christians were kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven us. And so our challenge this Sunday is we go out and make sure that we're doing that we are doing this life, being like God, just and holy, and not doing these evil behaviors that the non-believers do. Okay. All right. And now at this time, we'll have a communion service. Okay. And so if you'll open your hymnal to page 7, and I'm going to come around and pass out the elements, and my friend Quentin's going to go outside and pass out the ones and the folks in the parking lot. So if you're in the parking lot, you'll see a young man carrying a little black box. That's the communion elements.